Al Yankovic has outlasted and in some cases outsold the artists whose songs he's parodied.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so white and nerdy.
The video for that song, White and Nerdy, has twice as many YouTube views as the original song, Ridin'. And although Weird Al doesn't always get as much attention for it, the master of comedic songwriting also writes his own original songs.
I knew that we were having problems when you put those piranhas in my bathtub again. You're still the light of my life. Oh, darling, I'm begging, won't you put down that knife?
Weird Al has been the king of parody for 30 years. He's won 3 Grammys, and he's about to release his 14th album. It's called Mandatory Fun. Weird Al Yankovic joins me from our bureau in L.A. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So Mandatory Fun is the name of your album. Is that how you describe your approach to life?
I think it's very important to have fun. In fact, let's say it's mandatory, yeah. That was just an oxymoron that I've always been amused by. It's used a lot in corporate retreats and, I'm told, in the military. And also, this is the last album of a 32-year-long record contract. So some fans have theorized that that might have something to do with it as well, although I can't really comment on that.
Like there might be an obligation to do this album.
Perhaps.
You've kept a pretty tight lock on this album, but you're giving us a little preview with this song called Word Crimes. It is a parody of Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines.
If you can't write in the proper way, if you don't know how to conjugate,
maybe you flunked that class, and maybe now you find that people mock you on
when I came up with the idea for Word Crimes, I thought, well, that's great because I'm always correcting people's grammar. It's kind of a big deal with me. In fact, I've done some funny videos for YouTube where I'm correcting road signs and making the grammar better on the highway and in the supermarket.
That must make you popular at parties.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it makes me a hero among a small subset of the population.
Work on that grammar, you should know way. It fluffer if you were
there was a time when Weird Al and parody and that was it. And now Cookie Monster has done a version of Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe.
Cookie Monster's my number one competition right now.
Hey, me just met you, and this is crazy, but you got cookie, so share it maybe.
No, I don't view it as a competition at all. I think it's wonderful that there's a level playing field now. It's more of a challenge now because now I have to compete with the thousands and thousands of people on YouTube that are also putting out comedic songs and parodies.
And MTV is sort of a different thing than it was. You know, when you first got started, and I'm thinking about Eat It, which was like an anthem of my childhood more than Beat It was. I mean, it was in such heavy rotation on MTV.
Well, MTV's a completely different animal now, obviously. Back when I was first starting out in the 80s, it was a 24-hour music video channel. People watched it for hours on end. They would memorize every tiny detail of every music video. And then when I came along and I just tweaked those little video moments, people understood and got the humor immediately. Nowadays, MTV is more of a reality show channel, and I'm not really focused on that, and they're certainly not focused on me. So the internet is the new MTV, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Is it true that you don't need permission to do a parody of a song?
Legally, I say it's a gray area. I could get away with not getting permission, but I've never wanted to get away with that. I wanted to do it with the artist's blessing. I think it's more taking the high road to make sure that the artist feels like they're in on the joke. I want them to know that it is, in fact, an homage. It's a tribute. It's more of a poke in the ribs than a kick in the butt. I mean, it's all meant in good fun.
As I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain. But that's just perfect for an Amish like me. You know I shun fancy things like electricity.
I want to play one of your originals now from the new album. It is called Mission Statement.
We must all efficiently operationalize our strategies. Invest in world-class technology and leverage our core competencies.
I can say from experience that this sounds like a song full of office jargon. Because I have worked in cube farms, but you've never worked in a cube farm. What was your inspiration?
I did have a day job 30 years ago in the traffic department of Westwood One, a radio syndication company. So I wasn't exposed to those kind of buzzwords so much back then, but I hear plenty of those buzzwords in marketing meetings still with the record label. And, you know, I was familiar with it, so I thought it was about time for me to do my homage to that.
Transitioning a company by awareness of functionality. Promoting viability, providing a supply chain with diversity.
Your original songs, I've read that you feel like they don't get as much attention as you'd like them to.
Well, that's true. I mean, certainly among the general population, I'm known as the parody guy. And to this day, after 30 years, a lot of people still say, "Do you ever write your own songs?" And, you know, I can't blame them for saying that because virtually all of my hits have been the parodies. But the fans, the people that listen to the whole album, know that half of my material is, in fact, original. Although most of those are style parodies or pastiches, like the one you just played, which is obviously meant to sound like Crosby, Stills, and Nash and or Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
Can we ever expect an album of all originals from you?
I don't think that's really necessary. I love doing the parodies as well as the originals, so it's not like I'd ever give up one in favor of the other. And in fact, I don't know that I'm going to be doing any more traditional albums after this point. I think that digital distribution is more the way for me to go, like putting out a single at a time, possibly two or three tracks for an EP. But you know, I don't know that putting out 12 songs at once in this day and age, for me, is the best way for me to get my music out there, because if I'm waiting that long, chances are a lot of the material is going to be somewhat dated by the time it comes out.
Wow. So this is the last Weird Al album?
Well, I have to be careful about that because a lot of people listen to that and say, oh, Al's retiring. I am not retiring. I intend to keep making music like I have in the past. All I'm saying is there's a pretty good chance this is the last conventional album, meaning the last time I'm going to release 12 songs at once.
Do you think you're just going to do this forever?
This interview? I don't
know.
So. What?
Are you going to be Weird Al forever and just keep putting out songs, presumably not whole albums necessarily in the future?
I don't know. You know, if you'd asked me 30 years ago if I'd still be doing it today, I would think that's pretty unlikely. But you know what? I love doing this. I can't imagine a job I'd rather have. I'm sure people will let me know when it's time to hang up the accordion and call it quits. But as long as people don't mind, I'll keep doing it.
Weird Al Yankovic joined us from our LA bureau. His new album is Mandatory Fun. It comes out next week. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.